Welcome to Comically Exposed, the podcast where we talk about comedy and OCD and really all the mentals that you can shake a stick at. I am one of the hosts, Gabby Blackman, and the other fabulous host is
Heather Nye.
Dun, dun, dun. And yay. Guess what, everybody? It is our birthday.
Yay!
I just want to put in like sound effects of like an entire crowd going crazy.
Yeah.
Something I think in the realm of like a Beyonce concert is probably mm-hmm. the level.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Especially for a 1-year-old birthday yes. of the podcast.
That's right. We made it a year.
Yay. Woohoo.
Okay. We could, I used to work at the Olive Garden, not to brag. And it was before Happy Birthday was like free to use the song, So every like establishment had their own Happy Birthday song. And it was something like, you know, happy, happy birthday. We're super happy you're here. And here's some wine and here's some pasta and everybody's family or something like that. Happy
is that
birthday.
The real one?
No, I don't remember it. That's the thing.
Okay.
I like very consciously tried to lose that one. And also there was like a whole spiel where like you came to the table to like introduce yourself as the server and you brought like one of their really crappy large bottles of wine, we got like in a vat and then put into these like ridiculous bottles and then had a whole spiel. Anyway, welcome to Comically Exposed, where I just talk about old jobs I had, various symbols that I had to memorize. Oh my gosh. Heather, how are you? What's going on?
What's going on? What is going on?
What is going on? Right before this, I was listening to a world politics podcast again, bragging. And it's sad out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to... I mean, there's part of it. It's kind of I feel like it's whiplashing of, oh, it could go better. And then, that's terrible. I don't want to read about that.
Yeah, 1,000%. It's like, going through phases of only listening to comedy podcasts. And then I go through phases of only listening to politics podcasts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a third thing that would make this a joke. But
yeah,
got nothing.
Got nothing. It's only comedy and politics, but not right. but not together.
Not together. Never, except they never are together.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they definitely are.
The only way that I can digest politics.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's not true, but it makes it all go down easier. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, whatever. I don't know. You did say to me, hey, should we prepare something for our birthday podcast? And I was like, no, it's going to be so good. It's just going to be freewheeling. And here we are. My brain is going 1,000 times a second and my tongue mm-hmm. feels very slow and dumb. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you're feeling, but.
I feel blank.
So again, professionals. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I will say, shout out to everybody that we've had on the pod and that we've interviewed. It has been so lovely and really interesting to talk to other people. Now that that's out of the way, I have missed talking to you and like catching up on where you are in your OCD / mentals journey.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any? Okay.
Same with you too. Yeah.
Good.
I've missed it terribly. Just kidding. Mm-hmm. I have enjoyed all our interviews. They've been really fun to kind of like hear about mental health, whether or not they had OCD or not, and how they get work done, you know, because sometimes I struggle with that, you know. And luckily for this podcast, I actually like editing our podcast.
Which is amazing.
And only because, you know, it's entertaining to me and I get to listen to the podcast as, you know, as it goes. Fine. Anyway. I know you asked me a question.
I did.
How are my mentals going? they have been, I would say, a solid okay.
Ooh, coming in strong.
I know. I am. I think it's funny because I'm going through, and I don't know if it's because it's summertime, kind of a waving of kind of some backdoor spikes of OCD, some weird, almost like revolt against doing things for my OCD.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Which has been great. But then also on top of that, it seems like I have this weird thing where it's like, oh, now that it's not here.
Uh-huh.
You know, doing one ritual is okay.
Oh my God, so real.
I know. And then it just tumbles into chaos and I miss an entire week and go, what just happened? You know, just like a drunk college student falling out of a window.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Classic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Classic college student out the window because drunk for a week. Nah, we've all been there.
Yeah. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm good. No, I mean, that's not a real answer, but I just wanted to say something so that I could ask you more questions.
Oh, sure. Sure. You can ignore everything, you know, that I just asked you and just go right into questions.
Yeah, I just denied. Yeah. Fucked. The answer is fine. The answer is good. I was going to ask you, what is a backdoor spike of OCD? What do you mean by that?
The way that I understand it is when OCD just kind of rears its, you know, awful head into my brain with something a little bit different. At least that's the way that mine presents. Sometimes it's like the same flavor because I tend to have more of an existential kind of meta OCD stuff that happens to me. And it just kind of shows up and it sometimes it shows up big and sometimes it shows up small. So I have one that just kind of made my compulsion to ruminate set my brain on fire. To kind of like, and then there was this realization that I was ruminating and then I stopped as I've been trained, you know, in my mind, you know, to like go, oh, nope, that's rumination. Mm-hmm. And then take notice of the OCD. And the thing is that when you get out of practice, as I have gotten into just noticing when a intrusive thought shows up, I didn't notice that the intrusive thought showed up.
Yeah.
Not that I bashed myself, I did, and made myself feel like a horrible person for not doing
good.
The That's simplest the task. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kidding. It's not mm-hmm. simple. It sounds simple. It's not simple.
Yes.
Yeah, and I did do a lot of forgiveness for myself to like go, okay, you know, you're just human, and throwing a little self-compassion at myself, and then go, okay, you know, this is what happens. But sometimes when you're in I don't know if I'm in recovery phase, but when you're in a recovery phase or nearing a recovery phase, backdoor spikes happen. I don't know if they happen stronger, but they feel like they happen stronger because your brain's really trying to get you to pay attention to the emergency that it's telling you it's having or the bad feeling that it wants you to have that you don't want to have, you know. Uh-huh. I don't know. I feel like this is a long explanation for something.
Yes, it is. It's good. It's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Okay.
Yeah. And I also, it's a really good explanation. And it made me think of like the brain offering up just like a shit feeling on like a silver platter and being like, huh? Right? I cooked your favorite. Look at that.
Look, it's guilt, shame, and fear all together.
All together. Hold on. There is a gravy and it's existential dread.
Yep.
Our brains are so cool, dude.
Yeah, they are.
Well, I'm sorry that that's happening. As you were talking, I was thinking about it. Like, it's interesting because when you're in the midst of like an OCD hailstorm or something like that, mm-hmm, then you're mm-hmm. like, okay, all hands on deck, mixed metaphors. Let's pull out every tool we have. Let's start putting them into practice. Let's start making it routine. And then you're just kind of like, okay, that's an intrusive thought. That's a rumination. That's a compulsion, you know, and just pointing out all the things. And then you have the tool that is working for you at the time. And it's like, just going to ignore it, going to go back to a valued activity, going to, you know, talk back to OCD, whatever it is. And so then it's like your defenses are so robust. And then so it kind of shrinks the OCD down because you're just like, pew, 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 right? Taking down all the little, I don't know, things.
That I love the sound effects. The sound effects are exactly what happens. Yeah.
Good, because the vocabulary is not happening. So it's going to be largely sound effects podcast today. But then the OCD has shrunk and it's like not trying it as much. You know what I mean? It's not tossing an intrusive thought at you multiple times a minute, not even like multiple times an hour. And so then it's almost as if, oh boy, just metaphors on metaphors. It's almost as if you're trying to go to the gym to work out, to practice your tools against OCD, and the gym is just shut. And the hours of operation are like from 2:15 a.m. to 2:27 a.m. And that's it. And it's only on Tuesdays. And so then it's like, I don't know. It's just this constant back and forth between OCD shrinking and you using your tools, and then OCD or your tools kind of falling to the wayside, your ability to notice or acknowledge like this is an intrusive thought versus this is one of my thoughts that I'm enjoying thinking about.
Yeah.
And then the OCD pounces because it's been working out the gym. When you have been blocked from the gym, it's been using your membership and sneaking in and working out.
Yeah.
And that, taking anabolic steroids for sure.
Yeah. That feels so true. Like, because it's like one of those things where you're just like, wow, I'm a normie.
Yeah.
Like totally. I'm having regular thoughts. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, this little sneaky, little muscly thing shows up and goes, what about this?
Exactly.
And then it's like, ah! And then, you know, you just fall back into, you know, place. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, as we're talking about exercise as a metaphor, it truly is about practicing and exercising those tools. And the thing that was happening was I was becoming a little looser with my, you know, exercising. Not to say that I have to be so obsessive about, you know, working out because even that is, you know, like that kind of overly preventative, you know, tactics are, can be turning into OCD compulsions as well. Yeah, I know. It's fun. It's like when you go, is that a weird thought? Yeah, it is a weird thought. But, you know, do you put that much, you know, emphasis on it? Do you put more, you know, whatever? I can't find the words. I'm having a hard time with words as well.
Use a sound effect. It's going to be great. Yeah. Or just toss one in after the fact. You're the editor. Put in like a weird ball.
I know. All of a sudden, we just have a lot of sound effects in this episode. Yeah,
exactly. Just it becomes like a morning zoo sort of
shock
radio.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly where we're going towards. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no longer going the direction of murder podcast. We're doing shock jock radio. Shock jock
world politics.
Uh-huh.
Also murder. But we're just advocating.
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing the murders on the podcast.
That's right. And then we leave it up to the audience to start their own podcast to solve it, right?
Yeah.
Very inclusive.
It's inclusive. It perpetuates. It's, you know, it's timely. It's
as we say on the pod, and it is our catchphrase.
It is a catchphrase.
It is because it's singular. So it's one catchphrase. Which is some people deserve to be murdered. Okay, I can't. I'm sorry. Okay, interjection on how I'm doing with my mentals.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. How are you doing?
Okay, thank you for setting the table. I realized that I've been thinking about death a lot lately, which I'm usually thinking about death. If you just sort of are like, you know, 10:30 a.m. Hey, Gabby, how you doing? I'm good. Oh, yeah. What you thinking about? Death. You know, death of my loved ones. Not in a proactive sense. I don't mean that I am homicidal in that aspect, but just.
But I know that's the thought you're thinking about that you're trying to not say, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't look at my search history. It's totally normal. but the, like picturing or feeling the grief that will come unless, here's hoping, I die first. that comes with losing loved ones, right? And it's not a new, like, literally as soon as I knew about death, you know, as like a 5 or 6 year old, it's been the constant thought in the back of my brain. It's like my mom, my dad, my sister.
Yep.
You know the jam, I'm sure.
Yes, I do. I do know it very well.
Yeah. It's, yes. It's a pretty sweet jam. You can play it all the time. It goes with everything. Toast. Anyway, so, but the pace has picked up, and this is like one of the sometimes precursors to a bit of depression or something like that. And I went, oh, right. Because it's about to be fall, and fall to me is seasonal depression.
Yes. It's like, yes.
Not even all of winter, because as soon as we hit the solstice and the days start to actively get longer, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I'm like, we're cool. But from sometime September-ish, I realize we haven't hit the fall equinox. Shout out astrophysics degree. These are the things that I remember, you know, and I'm going to put them all in this pod.
That's fine.
Good, good, good.
Everybody needs to remember this. Also, it's very relatable. Yes.
Yeah.
But continue. Yeah. It's very relatable.
Cool.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Like after the longest day, instantly I know there's like this trigger that everything gets shorter.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not as if I'm out here in the sunlight, you know, soaking it up, trying to enjoy all this grand, like, I don't know how it actually affects me on a day-to-day basis because I work from home and I work on my computer and the sunlight doesn't come into play a heck of a lot there, but something about the fact that it starts to get dark earlier. And that's the other thing too. I love nighttime. I absolutely like, it's when my brain turns on fully. It's, you know, when I feel most alive. It's also when less people are out and about, and that just feels better. But there's just something about pumpkin spice lattes that just sends me into a downward spiral of, again, existential dread and torment.
Or as I like to call it, a double ooh, because I do not like coffee or pumpkin. So
1,000%. I didn't know you were also not a coffee drinker.
Yeah, I am not a coffee drinker. Yeah.
Ooh.
We can still learn new things about each other.
1 year in, you know.
I know.
I do, however, drink. I don't want to call it a coffee substitute.
A coffee substitute.
Yeah. Thank you. But I'm going to say it because it brings me great shame. So I'm going to say it. It's roasted cacao that you make in a French press, like you were making coffee, but there's like little to no caffeine to it. It has something called like thraffine or something that I'm like, okay, well, that was just a marketing ploy. Like that's not a real chemical component, but nice work, guys. But it's kind of like drinking the wateriest hot chocolate you've ever had. And if that doesn't sound appealing, you're right. But I do love it. But they also, this company, Creo, let's get a sponsorship, by the way.
Yeah.
Creo Brew.
Creo.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They make.
Tastes like watery chocolate.
Watery hot chocolate. Because. I think what people have always said is what would make hot chocolate better? One, no sugar. Two, no dairy, no cream to it at all. And just sort of a watered down chocolate taste with extra water.
Would make it delicious. I like that this is your shame.
Yeah. I mean, you hear how I'm talking about it.
But you like it, right?
I do, actually. I really love it.
So it's, why is it a shame?
Because most of the people that I, you know, I'm like, here, try some. They're like,
Do you have any coffee?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. I don't, and it also just feels like such a hippie thing. I don't know, to be like, oh, I actually don't drink coffee. I drink a cacao alternative.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of a snob.
Thank you. Okay, well, I'll take that. That does give me high status at the very least.
Yeah.
Hippie to me is like the lowest form. Having gone to University of California, Santa Cruz, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, it's like I've had my hippie fill. I also was a naturalist at an outdoor school, had my hippie fill. The first school that I went to was on the East Coast, Friends World Program, shout out, kind of don't exist anymore. Had my hippie fell. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a flavor of white people that is just, and I know that we have worse flavors, you know, in the white contingent, but it doesn't seem like a good one. Like patchouli alone should be a war crime. Sarin gas, patchouli, equal. And that's what I got from my world politics podcast.
all from your drink in the morning.
Yes, exactly. I didn't even want to talk about my drink this much, but of course I'm going to, because Creo Brew, what a great drink. What a pal. Order now. Put in comically exposed at a website of your choosing and get no money off. See? That's the kind of sponsor ad read.
Yeah.
They could have.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been pursuing sponsors at all. So
Heather, we have dozens of one listener. Dozens. Yeah, I actually wanted to talk about my move, because that's pretty much what I've been doing this summer. And it has been the biggest aspect of my OCD and ADHD. Truly all the mentals have sort of like rammed together for this process that is unending. Yeah. So,
well, moving is hard.
Thank you. Oh yeah. And this goes to what you were saying before about the compassion. I'm having the worst time being self-compassionate through this process.
Yeah, that can, that's a hard one, especially when voices in your head tell you otherwise, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically voices that say, you know, one, other people don't have this much stuff, which is
not is true.
but so contextual, like some people don't have this much stuff. Again, people currently in the Sudan, I'm guessing, may not have this much stuff, or maybe they do, they just don't have food. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make light of a truly horrific humanitarian situation, but again, world politics. But then there are Americans who all we have is stuff. And then there are hoarders, which is one of my nightmare. Like if I am ever diagnosed as a hoarder, that is like, again, it's like being called a hippie. Like this is what I do not want to be diagnosed with.
Yes, yes.
And I'm having
hippie a or hoarder.
What?
Hippie or hoarder.
Hippie or hoarder. Gotta be game. One thing that starts with an H, you know? Hippie, hoarder, or haberdashery. And I will take hats every time.
Yes.
So I took almost a month to paint my studio apartment. And I don't know, have we talked about it on the pod? The amount of
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so real quick, there's a tiny kitchen. There's a tiny like living studio bedroom space. And then there's a tiny bathroom. And I chose 9 different shades of white for the studio. I chose 6 yellow, pale, pale yellows for the kitchen and 4 different shades of blue for the bathroom. And I painted all of these things on multiple walls in those places to see how the light would be.
Smart.
Is it, or is it OCD?
No, I think that's pretty smart.
Okay.
Because you have to live with the color.
All right. That's what my OCD group facilitator said as well.
Yeah.
But why would I believe you people? You love me. I'm going to believe the OCD voice that hates me.
Yeah. That you're choosing too many.
Yes.
That nobody chooses this many.
Yes.
That, you know, that you should just know which one and just paint it.
Uh-huh. And uh-huh. Exactly. And then the perfectionism mm-hmm. comes in, which is this building is built in 1952. So the amount of paint that has been in this place is a lot. Mm-hmm. And so there are old drips, right? Mm. There are like gaps in areas mm-hmm. that I had to fill in with plaster or spackling. And my perfectionism was just like, but what if we make it so good? But what if it's perfect? What if it's perfect and it levels up everything? Your life. Mm.
It changes your entire life.
Yeah. It's like a sliding doors situation.
Yes. Yeah. If you did this perfectly, if this splotch or this hole or this, you know, paint drip is gone.
Yeah.
Your life will be perfect.
So I actively tried to leave some paint splotches and it sucks. And the other piece is there's like little boundaries, you know, where paint meets tile or another paint color or whatever. And I have teeny tiny little brushes and I still have the cans of paint, like the dregs of the gallon paints. Uh-huh. And I still have the idea that I'm going to go through and I'm going to fix every single one of these borders. Your laughter was so cleansing in that moment. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Because at what point do I let go of that? Because part of me, every time I go to let go of it, my hands pick it right back up again. The other thing that I'm doing is I have gone through all of my clothes. We were talking about jeans before we started recording.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had like, I'm going to say 50 pairs of jeans.
Oh.
Maybe that's hyperbolic, but a lot. I had like a lot of jeans. And I would say 15 pairs of those jeans were on a shelf waiting for me to take them to a tailor so that they would fit me so that I would wear them.
Oh, that's real.
Okay, cool. Again, cool.
Yeah.
Because, and thankfully my best friend came over and let me put on every piece of clothing I owned, not at the same time. And then she quickly went through and was like, yes, no. Right. Mm-hmm. Which was great. Again, this is where I'm like, dear God, please don't let me be a hoarder. In my folks' garage, I have put all of the giveaway stuff, but I haven't taken it to Goodwill.
Ooh.
And part of that is hours. Like every single day since July 1st, I have been packing and making decisions and going through stuff and painting and fixing hardware. Oh, I flipped my sink. The hot was in the cold spot and the cold was in the hot spot. You know, somebody had flipped them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I flipped them myself. Hey, flipped them back.
Yay. Yeah.
Right. But also so many of these little teeny tiny things, I'm out of my mind. I am. It has been so. Mostly what I've been doing is driving 30 minutes, going to aqua aerobics in the morning because haven't picked a pool around here yet. Then immediately going to my folks' place, showering, packing, put stuff in the giveaway pile, all the things, and then driving stuff back here, then working, then putting away stuff here, and sometimes going back for another load of stuff. And so the true deadline is to get all of my shit out of my folks' place with the last stuff being the giveaway because when my folks come back, they have stuff to give away as well. So it can all kind of – why am I talking about this? Oh, self-compassion. You know, it's like other people not only have less stuff, other people can make decisions more efficiently. Other people don't assign or like see something from childhood, have that memory rush back, and then cannot let go of whatever that thing is. You know, like other people can have more self-compassion than I can through this whole process. Like, you know,
so you're judging that you don't have enough self-compassion in order to move out of your place that you've lived in for a while and moving into a new place. You know, it's hard. You have to give yourself that. It is hard. And the whole process of moving, especially when you have a lot other stuff going on, can make it tough. Ooh,
yeah.
But that's a lot. That's a lot, because you're judging your self-compassion, your inability to have self-compassion for yourself. Oh, Gabby.
Yeah, no, it's good, especially because a lot of this is just me on my own. I can't ask for help or show vulnerability or not be a dependent. But two, because people work during the day.
Mm, yeah.
And thus cannot help me. I don't know why their bosses aren't just like, you know what you should do is go help somebody I don't know move. But yeah, being alone with all of these thoughts, with the intrusive thoughts and the whatever else, is just horrendous.
Yeah. Yeah. It does not sound fun at all. I am so sorry.
Thank you. So when are you flying down so that you can help me?
Yeah, I will pick up the rest of your jeans. And
dude. Okay, so then that's the other piece, is I am sitting with discomfort, which is the OCD part, right?
Yes.
Which is I throw things away, and the thoughts are, should that be recycled? How do you recycle something that's like melded plastic with fabric with, you know, plutonium? Mm-hmm. And then also like, what if somebody could actually get use out of it? What if you just put 20 minutes into this leather bag that's completely lost all shape and the zipper is broken, and just like fixed it and then gave it away so that somebody could have use for it instead of it going to a landfill for all eternity.
Yeah.
And then putting the garbage can out onto the corner, having it get picked up, and then the feeling of never being able to touch that stupid leather bag that is useless. And I don't want it anymore, but the sense of like, I don't know. Do you ever experience anything like that?
Yeah, there's some attachment stuff. I have a hard time sometimes letting go of some things. Other things, I'm just like, I can't wait to get rid of it. But I have recently have started editing out my closet, not just because of the pandemic, you know, delayed a bunch of stuff. And so now the clothes that was there, I was like, wow, that was old before. Now I really need to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. But I actually created some piles and I'm taking them right to Goodwill.
Ooh.
Instead of like, but see, that's the thing, is that I think when you do a little bit of an over analysis, I think that's when you have to check yourself and go, whoa, wait, now do I sit back and look at this as a big picture? Would I ever use this leather bag? You know, and sometimes I think it might help to even limit the options.
Oh, what do you mean?
So I think back in the day, there was like this thing where you have three buckets. It's either throw away,
give away,
donate, or donate or give away, or keep. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's better to just kind of make the filters simpler, to kind of give yourself permission to let it go. Yeah.
Yes.
Because I know we all want to save the world.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to save yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And the saving of the world pivots on whether or not I throw away that leather bag. And we all know it.
I was thinking if Gabby threw that leather bag away instead of donating it or giving it away, she would basically kill all the baby seals,
mm-hmm.
And
which has been my plan this whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm well aware. I know
you are. I know, because I was talking about it. Yeah, I know. The over-responsibility of OCD, over-responsibility mm-hmm. for other people's feelings and the world and I don't know what else, other stuff that I probably think is normal but isn't.
Yeah, I always find myself when I'm overcomplicating something, sometimes it helps to kind of zoom out a little bit and maybe simplify just to give anything permission. I mean, I remember going through something similar, trying to figure out like my stupid internet.
Oh, I remember.
And,
yeah.
And reevaluating. And I went through this whole system of figuring out things. And it's just like, all I really had to do was zooming out and seeing like, oh, this is actually the simpler way of going about this. And it actually worked out at the end. So I don't know.
Yeah. The like not perfecting mm-hmm. whatever it is. Yeah.
But then I would feel the swirl. I would feel when it would get, when it felt like it was getting disordered.
Yeah.
When I was doing a lot of research.
Yeah.
And
all the tabs.
And having, yeah, all the hundreds of tabs. I'm saying hundreds. I'm not saying thousands. It could have been thousands. Anyway, but it was hundreds. And when I felt that pressure, that heat, you know, that's when I realized, you know, maybe I just close all the tabs. I don't look at them and I just close them all and see what happens.
Yeah.
And it's weird how at first you're like, oh no. And then you're like a little bit of relief.
It's that part that I'm struggling with, that little bit of relief, because it's not always coming to me recently.
Yeah. But I don't think that you need the relief. You just need to do. And then over time you just kind of feel it.
I think we should.
And I don't know if that's an OCD thing, but you know, it's definitely, it's definitely a pressures thing. Like it's like a self-inflicted, like, you know, pressure.
Yeah. 1,000%. And it's like, yeah, like my ADHD, all it wants to do is come up with uses for stuff. Right. And see like a million different very cool projects that can be made with an enameled tiny lobster that I made 20 years ago.
Mm.
But in the grand scheme of things, time on Earth is limited, et cetera, et cetera. This is where the simplifying things comes into play. Do I want to come up with a project for an enameled lobster? Or would throwing said enameled lobster away free me to do something that maybe I want to do even more, like comedy? I don't know.
Yeah. 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 I mean, unless you do want to stay home and make enameled lobsters, if that sounds more appealing to you than, you know, standing in front of an audience of adoring fans listening and laughing.
Okay. Just because you're right.
I don't know if I am right.
No, you
have to
are.
Answer that question. That
is like one of the main reasons that I moved here is because there is a comedy club that I want to start going to because they have a weekly Thursday night open mic night. And I haven't even gone to see the other open micers. Although I will say, okay, so I had a birthday recently and I went to two different comedy shows. One was Paul F. Tompkins, which turned out to be more music than comedy, but it was still really, really fun. And the second one, which was billed as a Black Asian comedy night at a new Black-owned comedy club in San Francisco, which is so cool. The worst venue, I think, for comedy. The club is very narrow. Mm-hmm. And the stage is at the end, and truly, like, there's a set of stairs that go up, and there's like a second floor, but only the people that are closest to the stage can actually see the stage because the stage is only like 6 inches off the ground. Oh. And this is like a fairly deep, long, but narrow space. So everybody who's waiting by the door cannot see all the way, and it was packed. you know, it was amazing, but it was just like, this is what, how, okay. You know?
Yeah, that's disappointing. That sounds like a terrible venue.
It was. Although my friend and I sat on the stairs, which I'm sure is a fire hazard, but we literally couldn't find another place to like put our bodies. Mm-hmm. And so we had a great view of the comics, which was like, again, happy birthday to me. Also brought up, why do I have such perfection around being a stand-up that I will not go to an open mic night when there are people who go to these, like, I assume these comics are actually making like a tiny bit of money, like maybe $3 or whatever.
Yeah.
And saying like the host just had the most weird misogynistic, like, you know, like I like old women's genitals and sex because at the end you get a Werther's, like a hard candy or something like that. And it was just like, oh,
that's terrible.
Buddy. Yes.
Yeah. I was like,
Yeah. And also he was older as well, but it doesn't make it any, like, it doesn't make it any funnier. It's just a bad joke. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, you know, I also am dealing with a similar thing. I mean, not stand-up comedy or a guy's disgusting joke. I think genitals was like harder to listen to.
I'm sorry. I was going to use the P word because that's what he used. But then I was like, oh, that's gross. And then I used genitals.
Okay, I'm going to back off of that one. Anyway, I was recently thinking about that because I'm also dealing with, you know, overly thinking about perfectionism, not realizing that I was thinking about perfectionism. And I realized that a lot of the stuff is about not working towards something. So I keep a note that says progress over perfection.
Oh, yes.
You know, that sometimes that even a little thing, a little effort, a little whatever, it still brings me closer to my goal of finishing a project, you know, and working through that. Also, doing it your own way, I think, is another thing to do. Because I think we also get stuck in this idea of like, what is the right way of doing something?
Oh, yeah.
1,000%. You know, and like, yeah, like, you know, if I do this, you know, it has to be that. If I do this, it has to be that. And in some cases, like sometimes that's true, you know, but I think in the beginning, I think we should be messy. We should be sloppy. We should be messy. We should be throwing stuff around and seeing where it goes. And then hopefully find our direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's, I'm trying to get more messy is what I'm trying to tell you.
I recently came across something about the shit first draft, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Of like anything, sketch, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And actually I was talking to somebody about ChatGPT and AI and saying that what I found most useful about it is it writes the shit first draft, not of anything funny. This was like job stuff, you know? And then I like change basically the whole thing, but it allows me to start. And that whole allowing myself to be messy to just put something out is like, God, is that fucking hard?
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's that first step, right? It's that, you know, just show up.
How's that going for you?
I am not being productive. I have been thinking about it recently, about how to start something. Because I don't know, mental stuff was kind of getting in the way and and so I just kind of dealing. But you know what's funny is that I remember a time where I had a lot going on. I was like getting married. I was planning an event. I had a job that I went to full time and my car got hit, rear-ended.
Yeah.
And it all happened within a couple months. And I was thinking about it and I was going, wow, I did all that stuff in a couple months. And it, you know, and for some odd reason, I've started oh, maybe this is a judgment thing, but started thinking, I'm like, oh no, is OCD making my world small again? Ooh. You know? And so, yeah, I've been thinking about that. So
very real.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then also I've been thinking about the way that I process information. Mm-hmm. And I'm still kind of in the discovery phase of what it might mean, but I have found it difficult to follow other people's ways or methodologies of creating.
Oh yeah. Like the outline and, thing.
Yeah, oh yeah. I hate outlines. Yeah, I absolutely hate outlines. Same. And so I started learning about
Other processes?
Yes, I was thinking about, and that's the thing I'm learning about. So I'm really not going to speak very intelligently about it, which I, you know, is all I'm about, is giving all the right information, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I've been thinking about is bottom-up processing or thinking, because I tend not to do outlines at all. I tend to like to do all the work before the outline and then develop the outline. And from developing the outline, then I refine my work and then things start to understand things.
Yeah. But
a lot of people like to go from general to specific, and I like to go through all the specifics and all the things and then become more specific at the top.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm learning about myself, which I am trying to figure out as a workflow, and challenging myself with potentially writing a spec script a month.
A month?
As messy as possible. Yeah. I know. So I wasn't really going to expose this, but then I was like, you know what? It's called Comically Exposed, and let's see if I actually do it. So I was thinking that, I would do at least 3 scripts by the end of the month or by the end of the year, starting in October, because I'm still learning about processing. So
yeah, a workflow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going to, like, at first I was going to buy something and I was like, oh yeah, I was going to get this and it's going to teach me all the outline stuff. And I'm like, bullshit. Yes. You know how many years people have told me how to do outlines and I'm like, and it never works for me. And no. So I was like, I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to see what's going to happen and see if I figure out a different process of how to work. And so
I love that. Yeah. I was going to say, this is pretty cool. We're off, you know, we're a year out from our podcast. I was thinking like us setting like comic goals for ourselves. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that? Because I, on one level, it was frustrating because when I didn't hit those goals, I was real mad at myself.
Yeah.
Opportunity for self-compassion. But on the other side, it was kind of nice to speak into existence something that I wanted to do. How are you feeling?
Yes. And I agree, because I have the same problem. I feel like I'm like over promising and under delivering, you know? And so
I wonder if that's a woman thing too.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know that if I don't say it, then I just think it and then it just doesn't happen. And it gives me this like weird permission to say, I never thought it, you know, but then it doesn't mean that I don't beat myself up for it. So yes. I might as well beat myself up out loud in front of everybody, you know, utterly shaming myself into not doing something or doing something or not doing enough of something. But I think it's good because I think showing up and making mistakes or not making mistakes or being perfect at it or whatever, I don't know. I want to be real. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to not have such a filter on everything.
Yes.
And I love how Bunny is rolling around on the floor. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just got distracted.
No, that's totally fine. There is, I just want to say very briefly, there is a flea issue that is also driving me crazy because I have not found any fleas on him, but he is getting bit constantly. And usually when there are fleas around, they bite me.
Yeah,
because you and I are both like, if there's a mosquito in the room, it will find me.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of little dogs that live in the building. All the halls are outside. There's no like inside common area, but all the little dogs, I think, currently are experiencing some kind of flea biting outbreak. But it's driving me crazy because he's on medication. So the fleas are sterile.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that it repels the fleas. So now I'm looking up hippie remedies to see if we can. Oh my God. Anyway. So would it be helpful to speak a project that you're working on or a goal that you have into existence on this podcast, or would it give you another level of self beat up furry?
Hopefully this answers your question, but the thing that I'm trying to work on is being more open about what I am doing, because I think I have a really hard time with that. Maybe with a few people or whatever, but it's all also because I know that I find it really helpful when other people are more open about their struggles or the work that they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not in so many ways, but I was hoping that maybe this would hopefully help somebody work through something that they may be struggling with. And so just kind of putting it out there into the ether and seeing hopefully that it's helpful. I think I said helpful like 20 times, but
yeah. But do you know what it was? Helpful, actually.
Oh,
but seriously, not a joke. True.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I think right now my plan is starting in October, I was going to just try to figure out a process and break it down week by week and seeing, luckily for me, it's the longest month of the year by 31 days and weirdly enough, I think 5 weeks or I mean, yeah, whatever.
Oh, but October anyway, is, yeah.
October, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if it's easier or not, but I am trying to write a first draft of a spec script of a 22-page or 30-minute spec script of, I don't know what TV show, but I'm going to pick one of a favorite and then just write a bunch of things and see if it works. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And figuring out my own process. So I may fail at the end. I may not write anything. I may write the world's greatest spec script. I don't know yet. So it has to be one of those three things.
Obviously.
But that's it. Yeah. How about you? Okay. How do you feel about exposing things for yourself? Like exposing
well, let's
not fully exposing yourself. I do not want to see your lady parts, but anyway,
say genitals. It's creepier.
I know. I know.
I would like to, you know, get back into at least saying something that I'm working on comedy wise, because I love mm-hmm. the mental health aspects of this podcast. And I do think that it's helpful or at the very least informative for people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I also I want to be funny. Mm-hmm. So there is like a deadline for the move, which is basically like a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just needs to be done or in the garage. And then I think it's going to have to be comedy stuff. Like mm-hmm. I've made it so that my work hours are now done at 6 PM so that I can go and do open mic nights.
Nice.
There aren't as many open mic nights as I thought, but I think that's just because like the only ones I'm looking at are on this like Facebook group of Bay Area, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how up to date that is. So I'm hoping if I start to do, you know, open mic nights here, then the other comics will be like, oh, you should go to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they're not super intimidated by all of my jokes.
About your amazing jokes.
My amazing jokes. So that's my goal. Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to start doing comedy stuff again. And I don't know, even writing sketches for our sketch group. I don't want to get crazy here, but
I did come up with an idea. for a sketch recently. And so I was going, I'm not going to say what it is because I want to surprise you guys.
You don't want me to write it up?
No, not at all. But I just had this idea and I was wanting to see if it was funny. And so I was, you know, I haven't been inspired to write a sketch in a while. And so I was just excited by it. But then I also didn't want to pile on doing sketches and then doing writing spec scripts. That's what I do. I just end up going, and then I could do this, and then I could do that, and then I could do this, and then I do nothing.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. God, that's so real. Yeah. This move has also, I opened a whole box that just said books I want to read 2017.
Oh no. That is the best.
And I just went, "Oh." So nailed it. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You solved everything with that. All those books could have solved all your problems,
all
Gabby.
My problems. But I will say going through all of my stuff has made me see a lot of hilarious shit that I have written, not necessarily like pieces, but just like little, you know, like I found a little piece of Hello Kitty stationery and all it says on the back is, "I hate Paris. I hate the food. I hate the people. I hate the language. Nobody has style here. Paris, France." And then it just says, "I hate," and the sentence is unfinished because I think ADHD took over. And I have no idea as to whether I wrote this like ironically, sarcastically. Was I in Paris at the time having a terrible experience? That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
But hilarious that I said that nobody has style in Paris. Like, okay, girl. But just stuff like that. And a lot of like a lot of drawings that I'm just like, what is this? You know, like I have one that looks like, you know, the whole Spark of Life kind of Sistine Chapel-esque, although Adam doesn't have a face. And the hand of God is also holding a cacao pod. With a feather. So,
okay. Maybe you were starting a new religion or having an epiphany of some sort.
I don't
of
know
what but God is.
Yeah. But it's just like, I kind of want to share them on like Instagram and whatnot, but then part of me feels too exposed with that, you know?
So we are comically exposed.
I know. How dare you? But yeah, so maybe that should be another goal of like, maybe I'll post things that because immediately I get in my head and I'm like, oh, this is fucking hilarious. You know, this thing that I've written, like, okay, I really hope this isn't offensive, but I found one that says, "Did Dan Aykroyd start to gain weight so he would look less like Hitler?"
Oh, did he look like Hitler?
I mean, you put the little Charlie Chaplin mustache on anybody and there's a resemblance, obviously.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's like stuff like that, that I'm like, uh-oh, this made me laugh. Is it safe for like consumption from people I know and care about and would like them to continue loving and caring about me? I don't know.
Also, this is a very strange, hard take on Dan Aykroyd because what did he do?
I don't know. I think I saw a picture of him younger with like maybe a floppier hairdo, maybe with a mustache. And I was like, holy shit, that guy looks like Hitler.
Well, because he's like America's sweetheart and you're calling him Hitler. At least, no, is he Canadian?
Probably. They all are.
Canadian. I mean, Canadians are Americans. Because we're all from
Northern
the same continent.
Americans.
Yeah. They're Northern Americans.
Uh-huh. Well, they are North Americans, technically.
Yes, they are. Because we're on the same continent.
We are on the same continent. High five. Mm-hmm. We got this.
Yay.
World geography.
I know. We solved it. I don't know why I keep saying we solved it. It's like, I feel like I'm repeating the same saying over and over again.
Well, you say it enough and we will have solved something.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Or I could say back at ya.
A year in and you're still coming up with your catchphrase, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're all perfect gems.
Uh-huh. Just hanging. There. Hanging in there. I don't know what that's saying, actually. I'm just repeating poster sayings now.
Yeah, that's good. But I liked the exact pose of the kitty cat. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what I was imagining in my head and needed to express myself. And, you know, this.
The visual was fantastic. I hope that we just post that visual for the podcast audience, because.
Yes. On everything that we put on the internet will be. And... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be on stickers.
Yeah.
You'll draw a picture about it.
Yeah. We should do stickers. Like, I did find a bunch of stickers, actually, and I was pretty excited about it. Anyway, truly the podcast for the next several months could just be like, what bullshit did Gabby find that he has collected? But my feeling is this: I am going to use all of these stickers. Like, I have saved them since I was a child and no more. And instead of throwing them away, I'm going to put them on my like journals and comedy binders and shit like that, because
you save stickers too.
You do too?
Yeah. Like, I just like a few years ago, I started using them because I was realizing, like, why am I saving all these stickers?
Okay, but was it a thing in the 80s? Like,
I don't know.
Where, because I remember everybody got real crazy about stickers at one point. I want to say
people
like
are still
84,
crazy.
85. Yeah, maybe 86.
They're crazy. Crazy with stickers.
And that's,
you got to put stickers on everything now.
On everything. And that's the hoarding label I will take, is a sticker. I'm a hoarder sticker, which is just a sticker.
Yes.
Meta.
Super meta. Gabby just opened the Comically Exposed Etsy store where she's selling her stickers that she keeps finding.
Mm-hmm. And Dan Aykroyd Hitler merchandise.
Yes. Because that's going to sell out.
It is. And I just want people to know that as a Jew, it's still not okay that I do that. we solved it.
We solved it. We solved it. And people can't wait to see you do stand up. It's all Dan Aykroyd material.
Which is super topical.
Very topical. Yeah. Top of mind. He's a sweet guy. And she has opinions.
Maybe she should keep them to Hello Kitty stationery. That's real. All right. Well, I think we did it.
We did it. We solved it.
Back at ya.
Hang in there.
Our classic sign off now.
Okay, everyone. It's the end of the pod.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Happy 1 year birthday, everybody.
Yeah, 1 year. We're 1 year old. Yum, yay. Yum, 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 yum. Bye.
Bye. 1 year. Welcome to the end of the show. This is Gabby Blackman.
And this is Heather Nye.
Thank you for listening to Comically Exposed. We are just a little show with two creators who edit and produce each episode. We appreciate all your support.
If you like what you heard, please follow us on Instagram at comicallyexp.podcast. That's comicallyexp.podcast.
Oh, and check out our website at comicallyexposed.com. That's one word, comicallyexposed.com.
Where you can contact us by text or even leave a voice message.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes drop every other Wednesday.
Also, special thanks to Track Club and Goldenfinch for providing the music.
Thanks for listening. And hey, everybody, today is a great day to expose yourself. Okay, until next time.
In your face, Miriam.